Our pericope of Scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis, in particular Genesis chapter 7. We're going to read that entire chapter. I ask you to keep your Bibles open because we'll be referring not only to two verses in that chapter, but then as it relates to the coming again of Jesus Christ and as it relates to baptism. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because the waters of the flood, of the clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean, and of the fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, and the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And in every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So far, the reading of God's word, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the flood waters of Noah's day are often thought of in terms of catastrophe. And yes, for the ungodly, those waters were indeed catastrophe. But for God's people, those same waters of the flood were saving. What do those waters signify for believers today, for you and for me? In order to understand this chapter and the other passages that I'm going to read, I need to go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 27, where we read, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. I don't have time this morning to really look in full at that text, but notice Zion, the church of Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament and then prefiguring the New Testament church. With all of her own sins, she is the elect of God, loved by the Lord. And we read in Isaiah 1 verse 27 that Zion shall be redeemed. The idea of being redeemed is the idea of set free. She must be ransomed. Ransomed from a foreign power over her. So that legally and justly she is set free. Redemption means there's a ransom price paid. Redemption is necessary for Zion. And notice thirdly then, the certainty of our text that I just read. Zion shall be redeemed. God will do this. And how is He going to do it? In the way of judgment. The way of redemption is with judgment and righteousness. And so we need to see that relationship between those ideas of redemption and righteousness on the one hand, and on the other hand, judgment. How do they fit together? We read, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. That word with means through or by means of. And that's what we're going to see in this pericope of Noah in the ark. The waters came upon the earth. We read in Genesis 6, verse 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's the Lord's evaluation. The Lord says, 120 years yet. Only 120 years. And then the end comes. Verse 13, the end of all flesh. That was revealed to Noah. So the effect of man's wickedness upon the Lord, we read in Genesis 6, verses 6 and 7, And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That divine revelation is made unto Noah. That's not Noah's evaluation, but God's judgment. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That's not just a judgment of total depravity in general, but rather it's a reference to actual sinful deeds, the sinful life, the sinful walk of humanity in that particular time. We need to see that in order to understand why the Lord came at that time with this terrible judgment. Only when the spiritual, ethical development of fallen race has run its full course does God come to destroy the world, both then and at the end of the world. The sin of man was great, we read. It means two things. There were many things very sinful done in many different means in which to sin. That is, mankind developed in their ability to sin even more greatly. So that we read every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. There was no good in them. As the boys and girls heard in catechism of young people, it begins with the heart. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, and the heart are the desires, and because of those desires of the sinful heart, the thoughts are sinful, and therefore they carry out sinful deeds. In the space of only 16 centuries, the first world became ripe for the final judgment. So displeased is God that He determined a definite end. God said to Noah, 120 years, that's the time for this evil generation. That was not a time of grace for the world to repent, but rather it is years of the striving of the Spirit of God. It was years of the announcement of the coming of judgment of God by Noah. And it was the sinfulness of that generation filling up their cup, because they heard of the judgments. And even later, they would see God bringing those animals to Noah. He didn't go out collect them. Here comes this long line of animals, and they go up into the ark. But they refused to believe. The world continues to exist and did continue to exist for the sake of the church that dwells in her midst. But when there is only Noah and his seven with him, then it's time for God to act. So there is judgment upon the world. But that's a great victory for the church. We need to understand that. Zion is redeemed by judgment. Now you say, what does that mean? The judgment of that world was the victory for the church. The victory that was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden, where the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. The people of God are not going to be cut off by the wicked. Noah and his seven, the church, will be preserved. If the world were allowed to continue, that seed of the woman would have been completely destroyed. It was time for God to act. Time for God to bring judgment of the world is at the same time then the salvation of the church. Zion must be redeemed through judgment. The end of all flesh came before God, but it was a work of grace. It was a work of the realization of His promise. There would be a victory. We read, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a contrast. The wicked world, and then there is the church, Noah and his seven. There Noah appears as a righteous man. We read, perfect in his generation. That doesn't mean that he didn't have any faults. We see that later on in the biblical record. But it meant that Noah and his house, they walked with God. Noah and his house were the object of God's favor. Noah and his house were the recipients of God's blessings of grace. God acted as a power within Noah and his house, delivering him from the power of sin, creating in him a new heart, producing in him a hatred for sin, producing in him a desire seeking redemption, seeking the forgiveness of his sins, causing him and his house to walk with God. Yes, we read in chapter 6 that God established his covenant with Noah. The wickedness of that world was a threat against God's church. That is very evident in the persecution of Enoch. We read in Jude verses 14 and 15 that he prophesied of the judgment that was going to come. And all the world hated to hear his preaching, so that after 365 years old, the Lord took him. No, the wicked world could not kill him. The beginning of Genesis chapter 6, we read that even the sons of men, the sons of Seth, are intermingling, marrying the evil daughters of men. There's apostasy. And then there comes Noah, a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he condemned the world in its sin. He condemned them by his words of his mouth, but also by the very action. Building here this big ark in a meadow of dry ground. There's going to come a judgment. Yes, the wicked world were judged, and by it, Noah and his family were saved. How wicked they were. Hearing God's voice through Noah, there's coming a judgment for your sin. Repent. Seeing this ark being built there. Watching then God bringing these animals to the ark. And they will not repent, will they? They will not repent. Notice with me, salvation comes to the church, to Noah and his seven, by water. What a wonder of grace. What a wonder of salvation. In Noah's day, there was terrible mocking of Noah. We read in 2 Peter 3 verse 4, they mocked them even as men today mock at the very idea that the world is going to be destroyed in order to make place for the world that is to come. They laugh at that today. Another world? A new heavens? A new earth? Can you hear them saying to Noah, hey Noah, there's a big ark. Look at all these years. There hasn't been any rain ever yet, only dew from heaven. What do you expect to happen? And even as they saw those animals coming to the ark, they must have mocked. Look at Farmer Noah. All these animals he's going to cram in there. What's he going to do with them? Rather than repent and turn from their wicked ways, the world increased in their lawlessness and wickedness. So we read in Genesis 7 verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The ark is not the salvation. The floodwaters were the salvation. Yes, a catastrophe for the wicked. There will not be that kind of catastrophe again until the very end of the world, when this world is going to be cleansed not with water, but with fire. It was a direct operation of God's wondrous grace, isn't it? God's power. God's wrath upon the wicked, destroying the world, but operating to save His church, Noah, His covenant friend. What a wonder of sovereign grace. I want you to see Noah and his church saved by water. As the rains came up from the ground, as the rains came through from the firmament above the earth. That means not just the clouds, but the waters over the atmosphere. as those waters come crashing down and gushing up. What a turbulent world. Do you see God who shut Noah and his family up in the ark, preserving Noah on that boat, on those turbulent waters, lifted up and separated from that wicked world, separated from the wicked world, separated unto God, saved, delivered. The wicked could not mock any longer. The wicked could not take their life away. They were saved, delivered from the wicked world. Noah and his family were entered into the ark. That's a picture of the church. And when finally the flood abates, after a year and 1 month, think of that, how long that was in the boat. A year and 1 month, Noah and his family enter into a new, refreshed world. A world where things would grow so well that you have Noah with his grapevines, with plenty, where the curse that was brought upon the first world was mostly taken away. Oh, there's still curse, but most of it was taken away. Noah and his family, the church, saved by water, brought into a new world. Now, in order to understand that salvation through judgment, we need, and what it means for us today, we need to go to another passage of God's Word. We go from Hebrews 11, verse 7, where we read, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Yes, Zion is redeemed with judgment, and the converted with righteousness. But what does it mean? Well, we listen to the Lord Jesus, and I'm only going to read one of the passages, and you could jot down some of the other ones that you can look at later on in your notes. But Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. There Jesus is talking about the end of the world. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The Lord Jesus is making a comparison. The flood of Noah's day, the waters that saved, was a type of the great antitype of what God is going to do at the end of the world in our Lord Jesus. Two other passages that you can write down in your notes and look maybe with the boys and girls or your children at home. Luke 17, verse 26 and 27, or 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. The floodwaters of Noah were a type of the renewal that's going to come when Jesus comes here on earth. And the church is going to be saved by the judgment day. What does that mean? Well, as Jesus is pointing out, as in that first 16 centuries, the world became ripe for judgment, so this world that we live in is becoming ripe for judgment. Don't we see that in our own nation? When we are hitting almost the bottom of depravity, as Romans chapter 1 points out, when men want men and women want women, and the world says it's just an alternate lifestyle and celebrates that. Oh, the wickedness of the world has really filled its cup. And now to the church. The church living in that world like Noah and his sons lived in that wicked world before the flood. It's getting difficult, isn't it? There's coming a day when the church will be censored. The church will not be able to say about the sin, about homosexuality. That will be called hate speech. But there will be, by God's grace, just as there was in Noah's day, there will be a remnant saved by grace. And the Lord is going to come, not slowly, as the post-millennialists like to think, that gradually this world is going to get better and better, we're going to have a golden age. No, this world is becoming more and more wicked, and then suddenly, like a thief in the night, even as those floodwaters suddenly came when God shut Noah up in the ark. What a day that will be. You and I, what does this mean? Zion is redeemed with judgment. You and I do not have to be afraid of the judgment day. But we welcome it. We look forward to it. We pray for it. That day when the church will be separated out as sheep are separated from the goats. No more mocking. No more governments looking over the shoulder as in many nations today and persecuting Christians. No. With the judgment of the wicked, we are going to be separated out to enter into the new heavens and the new earth. Where there will be no more sin, no more temptation, there will be no more sickness or pain or sorrow or death. What a day that will be. Zion will be redeemed with judgment. We will be delivered. The Lord is going to say to His church, enter in. Come, enter into the joy of your Master. Come, enter into the new heavens and the new earth, just as Noah from the ark entered into a new, refreshed world. What a wonderful, wonderful salvation. The Lord knows, we read in Scripture, how to deliver the godly out of temptations, out of sin, out of sorrow, out of death. The Lord maintains His covenant. He realizes that promise that was made to Adam and Eve, that promises that all the way through the Scripture. The seed of the woman, Christ Jesus, crushes the head of the serpent. That took place on Calvary's cross. And the final manifestation is when Satan and his whole host are banned to hell along with all the wicked. No longer to threaten God's people. But we enjoy fellowship with God. Now you say, Pastor, why did you preach this sermon at baptism? You talked about Zion redeemed with judgment in Noah's day, and you talked about Zion redeemed with judgment when Jesus comes again, but what does it have to do with baptism? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We read, which sometime disobedient, Peter is talking there about the wicked in his day, continuing in this world, which sometime disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now listen. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter is talking there about the sacrament of baptism. The sacrament of baptism pictures our life in the covenant of God. In fact, it pictures really our entrance into God's covenant salvation. That is the way that we enter through the water of baptism. Now, of course, that does not mean that it's the water itself that's washing away sins. That's impossible, isn't it? But what does it mean? It means that the water which pictures the blood of Jesus Christ, as water washes away the outside dirt of our flesh, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross to wash away our sins. And we are saved by that water, that is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby they must be saved. Christ's death and resurrection are central. Baptism reminds us then this morning in a visible way, as that water was sprinkled on the head and water is used to wash outwardly our flesh, so the blood of Jesus Christ was shed once for all to wash away our filth, to make us clean. We are saved by water. We are saved by water that separates us, aren't we? Yes, it was more graphic in the Old Testament, when there was circumcision. Then God's people had that mark on their body that marked them as different than the uncircumcised Philistines around them. But the water put upon the little children this morning is a picture of how we have been separated out, even as Noah was separated out from the world as God's people. Sons and daughters of God. We are not only separated out, but we thank God we are saved by the blood. Saved by the blood and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. That is what baptism pictures. Saved, delivered as God's people, so that we may now enter into that new world with fellowship with God, walking with God, speaking with Him, not only someday in heaven, but right now. Separated out by God as His people from this wicked world, by His electing grace, by the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, we are now sons and daughters of God. Do you see how we are redeemed with judgment? But you say, what does that mean? Yes, there's that judgment upon the wicked world in Noah's day, and yes, there's going to be that judgment of the wicked when Christ comes again, but how are we redeemed with judgment right now? And then I want you to look at the cross of Jesus Christ. For 1 Peter chapter 3, talks about the resurrection of Christ Jesus, doesn't it? The end of those two verses. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ implies, first of all, His death. He died in our place. The judgment of our sins, the wrath of God for our sins, was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that judgment upon Christ, you and I are redeemed. You and I have died with Jesus Christ in His death. and you and I are raised with Christ's resurrection to a new life. Children of God, sons and daughters that know God, that love God, that walk with God, that serve God. Saved. What a picture has been given to you as parents and to us as a congregation as we witnessed it. Saved by water. Saved by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the flood saved Noah and his 8 souls, so baptism saves. Separation from sin. Separation from death. Positively, it is our approach to God. It is our fellowship with God. And all the positive blessings of salvation. And yes, finally, eternal life. Rejoice, Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, how the Lord preserves His own. Can you see that little boat with all of its animals and the church there? God saves not only souls, humanity, but He's going to save the creation. God preserves that little boat when the rain is pouring down, when the water is gushing up from underneath, when the waves and the billows roll. God preserves Noah and his family and creation there in the ark. He saves them with water. And that's the picture that's been given to us. Not the outward water, no, but what it symbolizes. The blood of Jesus. And we now have that consciousness within us. The consciousness of our new heart. I belong to Him. I've been saved by Jesus Christ. His precious blood that flowed there on the cross washes away my sin. And I enjoy fellowship with God. Let us go forth then. Let us live. Conduct ourselves as Noah did with his family. Living for God. No, not perfectly. Not in this world. That's the next chapter, isn't it, in the Bible. You see, with Noah and the ark, it's just a type. And there's always a flaw in the type. You see, the carnality, that is sin, was also in that ark, wasn't it? Noah later on is going to eat too many grapes or make too good a wine out of the grapes and be drunk. And that's sin. And you got Ham there in the ark. The one who is going to laugh at his sinful father and is going to point out the mistakes of his father to his brothers. The carnal Ham. Sin wasn't taken care of. That was just the first victory of the seed of the woman over the seed of the serpent. But when Jesus comes again, then there will be no sin any longer in our hearts or in our lives. When we die, our souls are completely made free of any sin or the possibility of sin. And when our bodies are going to be raised at Jesus coming again, those bodies are also going to be transformed, spiritual bodies, so that we dwell in the new heavens and the new earth. What a type of the antitype, huh? No sin. Fellowship with God. Walking with God. Enjoying covenant life with Him. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the beautiful picture that has been given to us this morning in baptism. That Thou hast separated Noah and his family. Thou hast separated Thy church in her generations. A remnant that by grace knows and loves and serves Thee. A remnant that one day will live with Thee forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And so we look forward to that coming again of Jesus. No more sin. No more temptation. No more evil one. No more wicked. No more sickness or pain, suffering or death. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen.